Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Roger, we got a roll.
Tower clear.
Roger.
My dear friends from all over the world, this is Martin Horst speaking on ET First Contact Radio on BBS Radio Station 1, the station where the latest galactic news is shared all over the world, and Douglas and Donald are doing an exemplary job with this radio station. I'm very happy to be here already almost in the fourth year in a row. And my guest today is Captain Robert Salas from the US Air Force, retired. And Robert Salas graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy and spent 7 years on activity duty from 1964 to 1971. From 1971 to 73, he worked for Martin Marietta Aerospace Rockwell International on space shuttle design proposals. From 1973 until his retirement in 1995, he worked for the Federal Aviation Administration. While an officer in the Air Force, he had positions as a weapon controller, drone pilot, missile launch officer, as well as an engineer on the Titan III missile program. On the morning of March 16, 1967, and March 24, 1967, 10 nuclear missiles had become simultaneously non-operational, and two different launch facilities immediately after guards reported UFOs hovering above the facilities. Robert wrote the book Faded Giant with co-author James Klotz, which details his UFO incident while stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana. And now Robert has come with the release of a new book, Unidentified. So Robert, my friend, I want to heartfully welcome you to ET Force Contact Radio. And it's a pleasure to have you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have and talk about this fascinating phenomenon.
This is the most fascinating and the most ridiculed and most suppressed phenomenon on the planet, and it has caught my attention since I was 13 in 1990, and since then I am completely fascinated and see it as my goal. Together with you and many others, to bring disclosure to the public.
Happy to hear that. We need all the help we can get to get this disclosure.
Yes. About your new book, Unidentified, can you give us an outline of the story and of the details that are in the new book, because I'm very curious about it.
Yes, I wanted to write this book because I've now spent over 20 years researching the phenomenon. Of course, like you mentioned, I wrote a book about my incident in 1967, but this goes beyond that to cover many other incidents that are similar. I think I've identified at least a dozen more that are similar to my incident, where UFOs are seen near nuclear facilities or nuclear weapons. And I also wanted to talk about the extreme secrecy in our government, especially the United States government, and the fact that there is, I'm convinced, an international secret organization that is holding these secrets and withholding them from the public, and managing whatever they have, the results of their investigations on this phenomenon, without public knowledge or acceptance or concurrence on what they're doing. The other aspect, of course, I talk about is the abduction phenomenon, and also the cover-up of my own incident in particular. So it goes into those details. And the overriding theme, I guess one of the themes, is a nuclear weapons issue. So I go into that in depth.
Well, that's interesting. Where can people get the book, Robert?
They can get it on Amazon.com. I think Barnes & Noble, which is an American bookstore company, has it. But I think mainly Amazon.com, and of course, they can get it there.
Yeah. Robert, I want to go a little bit into the material from the secrecy that you are describing in your book, because I'm particularly interested in organizations like the National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO, and there are a plethora of other organizations within the United States, like the Defense Intelligence Agency and many others. What do you know about the National Reconnaissance Office and their library of information they have about UFO contacts, and what are they withholding from the public?
Well, of course, I cannot give you a definitive answer to that. This is highly a secretive organization. The NRO, I think, was initially set up to put up satellites for, well, let's face it, the purpose is spying on other countries. So very likely, in all probability, in taking these photographs, spy photographs from space, they've undoubtedly encountered these objects and possibly taken photographs. So it's likely that they could have very good photographs of these UFOs. Now, I just want to point out that there's something like 17 intelligence agencies in the United States government, and this is top level agencies, and of course there are other small organizations underneath that.
Yes.
The NRO is just one of those 17.
Yes, I have found a list on some website, and I've done a radio show on my own describing all the different secretive organizations, and you can find that on YouTube by typing ET First Contact Radio and then something about secretive organizations in the United States. And that's very interesting because I found many articles on the internet, and it's a two-hour program. It's quite interesting for people to check that out after the show or later. So, Robert, my friend, you have been 20 years involved in the disclosure movement and have been on CNN. You was in 2013 at the National Press Club with Stephen Greer and Stephen Bassett for the citizens hearing on disclosure.
Yes.
I just saw on the profile on Facebook from Stephen Bassett a witness or a gentleman that said actually if and only if the citizens' hearing would be broadcasted worldwide or would have been broadcasted worldwide, it would have been official disclosure. So it already is disclosure.
Well, of course, it's disclosure because we had real witnesses to these events, even though the panel was not a real panel of congressmen and senators, but they had been congressmen and senators in the past. Mm-hmm. But the people that actually spoke there were actual witnesses from all over the world. And so I thought it was very effective that we had so many people, so many credible witnesses speaking of their stories. And we certainly convinced the panelists, the ex-congressmen, of the truth of this. Most of them had a change of mind after they heard the testimony. So I thought it was very well, a good exercise, and it got a lot of information out there in the public. We just didn't get an actual hearing yet, but there's still the possibility that we could at least ask for a real hearing of the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That would be really great if that would happen.
Absolutely. And there's another possibility, of course. The other possibility is to bring this subject up before the United Nations, which yes. which only requires one member nation to propose that this be a topic of discussion. And they just have to bring this up as a subject of discussion to the General Assembly, if we can get one nation to do this.
Yeah, and that would be probably in a Latin American nation because of the openness and the open-mindedness in the South American countries like Chile, where also the citizens' hearing, some key witnesses were speaking.
Yes, absolutely. Chile, Brazil is a possibility. You're absolutely right. The South American countries are more open to this subject. We have we're getting good cooperation now between UFO organizations and the air forces or governments of some of those South American countries. They're starting to cooperate in the exchange of information on UFOs.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Robert, I want to ask you a straightforward question. What is, besides disclosure, what is your greatest wish for humanity?
Oh, that's easy. My greatest wish is the abolishment of nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. We have a very precarious situation, very dangerous. We have 9 countries in the world that possess nuclear weapons. Some of those countries are clearly unstable, such as North Korea. We don't even know who is running North Korea these days.
No clue.
What's that?
We have no clue about North Korea because it's very difficult to get real reports from that country.
Right, and we have Pakistan and India, both nuclear powers that are fighting with each other. Recently, even Russian President Putin stated that, again, that reminded the world that he had a big nuclear arsenal. So that's threatening type of verbiage. We cannot assume that we will not have a nuclear war. It's too dangerous to make that assumption. So we have to actively try to eliminate our nuclear weapons, I think.
And besides that, I think because of your testimony from when you were employed in 1967, the incident, I'm sure that benevolent ETs have done the have disabled the missiles in order to prevent a nuclear holocaust, and they're still doing it.
Well, I think the reason they have been they disabled my missiles and they have been actively active over other nuclear sites is simply to send us a message, and that is that we should get rid of our nuclear weapons. I think they want us to do this as a matter of our development, our growth as citizens of the galaxy, let's say, you know, so that we can prove to them that we can survive in peace.
Because actually, when you look at the world population, every normal human being has drive, has the desire to live in peace and harmony and in abundance. And we can all do this. And I want to talk a bit about the mainstream media, because what you get on the mainstream media is only rubbish about war, the threatening of Ebola, the threatening of this, the threatening of IS. But these are the topics that are discussed today. But in the past 60 years, the mainstream media has only their purpose is to bring fear to the population. But I understand that the views of CNN and other major media stations are dropping very fast because people do not want to be confronted with this negativity anymore. And Robert, that is why I do this radio show, to shed the light on the positive aspects of ETs and about disclosure and UFOs. I want to bring it with a positive aspect and a positive. I want to shed the light on the benevolent ETs and on the things that can happen in our future, like free energy, get rid of nuclear weapons, and live in abundance altogether without pollution. So, what I want to say and ask you is, you have been on this planet quite a long time and you have seen an immense change in the infrastructure and in the way the media operates. So now we have the social media. So do you think that in the coming future, the mainstream media will be overridden by the social media like Facebook and other networks, and that this will create, with all the radio stations that are online, I'm not the only one, there's Art Bell and there are many others, that this could create a public disclosure?
Well, I'm happy to hear what you've said because I agree with you completely. The mainstream media is rubbish. I do think that the social media now, you know, the internet and social media are obviously not going to go away. And and you and I probably get more information from that media than we do the CNN companies.
Of course.
Yeah, I think people are suspicious of why they are promoting certain stories and not others. And, of course, they're politically oriented and on and on. So I think you're right. I think the public is getting turned off with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that the social media will, and it already has. We can see that, for example, during the the fight for independence by some of the countries this last summer and spring were fueled actually by the social media. You know, the people got up in arms in the social media before they ever took arms in the streets, and the same thing is happening in China. You know, where during the recent riots there, I think the social media had a big impact there. So absolutely, I think you're right that the truth can come out through the social media. We don't have to have CNN talk about the UFO phenomenon. We can do it through social media.
Exactly. We can do it ourselves. And as I understand, BBS Radio is the largest or one of the largest non-mainstream media stations on the planet, and I'm very proud to be here to do my show every week. So I guess that the numbers are increasing and increasing and increasing, and that there's no way around this gathering of people with common interests, for example, in the UFO community, that are that there's no way around this, and this will reach the majority of the population of the planet.
Yeah, and my sense is that the UFO community is not decreasing, but it's increasing in popularity.
Yes, it is. Yes, 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 for sure. I see so many new friend requests on Facebook. I saw that you have almost 5,000 friends on Facebook. The same case for me and for Stephen Bassett. And I would hope maybe we could launch a petition that Facebook lifts the limit to have 5,000 friends, because I could have 30,000 friends or 100,000 friends, all from the UFO community worldwide.
Yes, yes.
You see what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people there are, but because of this limit on Facebook, we can only have 5,000 friends. Stephen Bassett has 5,000 friends. You have 5,000 friends. I have 5,000 friends. That's the limit, but there should be no limit to this.
I agree.
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit in the past, in the 60s, because technology was far more primitive than it is now. And I have some old radios. My father has some old radios from the 50s with lamps in it, you know, no transistors. The transistor was not invented yet. And how is it possible that in the 1950s and 1960s that we went from lamp radios, and then suddenly there are very big transistors, the first types, and then very shortly after that we have microchips. With, the first microchips had already tens of thousands of transistors in the processor core. So how is this possible? Is this because of back engineering from ET technology, do you think?
I think that's very possible, that some of the technology we see today is a result of back engineering. I'm convinced, for example, that the Roswell incident occurred in which they recovered a craft. There must have been some technology that they retrieved that was able to be converted to for commercial purposes. And over the years, there have been most likely many other craft that have been recovered, and not to mention possible ETs. So this is very likely. You know, I know there's controversy over maybe Lieutenant Colonel Corso's book, the day after Roswell. But it's reasonable to assume that we have recovered craft and have worked on their technology to try to copy what they've got. Actually, I think that's the reason the disclosure is not happening today, because the secrets are so valuable for military purposes and for commercial purposes that they are being used for, let's say, profit and mm-hmm. power, and profit and power.
Yeah, like the whole oil industry, because I think that once the ET presence is disclosed with the technology, like they call it zero-point energy from, for example, Nikola Tesla, mm-hmm. when this is released, we will not have a need to use fossil fuels anymore.
That's right. That's right. So maybe the technology is getting more and more well understood by what I call this international cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they haven't found a way to integrate it or find good applications for it. But at some point, we may see other methods of or energy production, for example, and other things. Like you say, for some reason they just were discovered.
Yeah, yes, indeed, Robert. I wonder, this dark cabal, because they are earning, well, enormous sums of money from the oil industry and from the whole global network of commercial trade. So this is how they keep their position of power. But do you believe, like people like Benjamin Fulford are speculating that there are positions of power that are benevolent and that can oust them? Do you believe these kinds of groups of people exist?
You mean people that are benevolent, trying?
Yeah, like people in power, like the White Dragon group from China. This kind of people.
Anybody that has power. Power in general is corruptive in nature. It corrupts mm-hmm. people because people try to gain an advantage when you have power. You're in a position of advantage. So I don't know. There may be kind people, a group of kind people, but we can point to organizations that are doing good work, trying to help people that are starving in countries or mm-hmm. people that are in need of medical attention, like Doctors Without Borders, for example, something like that. But in general, I think for the most part, people in power are going to have their own self-interest
yes.
rather than the interest of others.
Yes, I've been thinking about strategies that we could have to put the dark cabal checkmate. And I've been in the think tank group in the Netherlands on how to oust the dark cabal with a game of chess.
I love chess.
I love it too.
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen the movie War Games from 1982 with Matthew Broderick?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. I love it when the computer says, "Shall we play a little game of chess?" Dr. Falcon. Yeah, Dr. Falcon is the guy who designed the Whopper computer in that movie.
Right.
And this young fellow is working with a computer and a modem, and he logs into that computer system, and then he creates a virtual nuclear holocaust.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's one of the best movies ever about the situation, because you see real images of NORAD, etc. And
yes.
It's a good pick to watch that movie, War yeah. Games, 1982, with Matthew Broderick. By the way, that movie, did it show a real presentation of the situation, like in NORAD. Have you been in NORAD or in the facility that you were working in 1967? Was it representing, was it kind of realistic, or was it, how was it for you to see that?
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. No, I've never been in NORAD, and I can't recall right now how the situation was presented. So I really can't answer that directly.
Right. You have a phone call?
No, go ahead. No problem.
No problem. Okay. Robert, how are we going to see the next couple of months? Because I have heard predictions from several people that I interviewed, many people from different walks of life have predicted that the second half of 2014 will be very interesting. These are, of course, speculations, but the world situation concerned politically and environmentally, I think the next coming months, November and December, will be interesting. But how do you see that?
Well, certainly we're going to have an election here next month. One thing that may affect what we'd like to have happen, disclosure, is that I think right after, in the first week of November, Stephen Bassett is going to try to send video of the citizens' hearing on disclosure to each and every congressman and senator in the U.S. government. And out of that, hopefully, one or two of them will show an interest in speaking to us and maybe even speak about it publicly, about the reality of this phenomenon. So that's hopeful. We don't know what will happen with that, but
hopefully. That's very hopeful, yeah. And Stephen Bassett, I mean, was he able to get all the home addresses from all those congressmen? Or is that not...
That's not a problem. The addresses are well known. They're even on the internet of the offices of the congressmen. You can get a mailing address of each office of every congressman or senator, and send them a package. Yes.
Okay, and both from the Democratic and Republican parties, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how many congressmen are there? I mean, talking about how many DVDs sending out there.
Oh, there's over, I think, 400, at least 460, something like that, in the House of Representatives. And, of course, there's 100 senators. There's two from each state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this will all go to D.C. then.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully by the middle of November.
Right, that's interesting. I will keep an eye on that. And it might be a good idea to get a hold of Stephen Bassett and ask him for an interview. I don't know how busy he is these days, but might be a good moment to ask him about this project.
Yeah, well, if you go on his website, Paradigm Research Group website, it's got his schedule of events. And I think he may be in Europe from time to time. I know he travels a lot.
Yes, he does, yeah. Yeah, so you live in California, and I want to ask a bit about the situation with the drought at the moment. How is it getting on?
The drought?
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I recently traveled up north in the center of California, and, of course, I've lived here most of my life, and... The center of California was known for being the vegetable and fruit producers, one of the major fruit producers in the world. And it's just been devastated with the drought. There's crops, no crops. You know, it's very dry, very, very dry, very bad. So we need help with water for sure. I don't know how we're going to get it, except pray for rain. But it's not good. And many of the wells, not the wells, but the water table is lowering. And So the subsurface water and the surface water is getting low now.
Yeah, I have seen pictures of lakes in California like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and the current situation, and the water level has dropped for 50 feet or more.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, but I wonder, you know, if you see the climate change, because in spiritual UFO groups, people talk about ascension and the changes in our solar system and on our planet and in the whole galaxy. But we can see those changes for real. They are happening in front of our eyes. So do you see a relationship between the increased visit of UFO craft and ET civilizations and the change in the consciousness of humanity and the changes in the environment?
Yes, I do see a relationship. If we go with my theory that the ETs are being observed over nuclear facilities just to send a message to get rid of nuclear weapons, well, how do we do that? How does the human civilization get rid of nuclear weapons? Well, they have to work together, obviously. We have to work together and start building trust in each other and start doing the hard work of not thinking so much of this world as a series of countries, but as one world and working together to solve our problems. And that does relate to, let's say, global warming, which is caused by burning fossil fuels. It's caused by overpopulation. It's caused by abuse of the resources that we have, water, and, you name it, other resources, on and on. Even the Ebola virus is an issue that has to be solved by working together worldwide. Because anybody, let's say a man or a woman that gets Ebola in Liberia can fly to any country in the world and spread the disease to any country.
Yeah. So I've heard rumors. First of all, beautifully said, Robert, that this outline of the situation.
Yeah.
Secondly, I heard rumors that the Ebola virus was created in a lab somewhere. And deliberately spread out in Africa.
Well, do you have anything to support those rumors?
No, but the thing is that on the there are in I think it's in Virginia, are guide stones that there's a depiction on it that says that they want to depopulize the world to 50,000 or 500,000. This could be part of it, like chemtrails and other things. I don't want to go too much in this negativity because there's already enough negativity, but this could be true.
Yes, I didn't mean to discount your theory there. It's possible. It's certainly possible that because if we do have a secretive organization like the UFO cabal that's operating, you know, not without government knowledge, even the governments that they work for, then they're independent. They could make independent decisions, including decisions that might affect all of us on this planet.
Yeah.
And yes, who's to say that some crazy person is not in control of one of these secret organizations that decides that the answer is to depopulate the earth. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think this was the subject of a recent book, was it not? The latest book by, I can't remember the name now. I think I read a novel recently that talked about this.
Yeah, that could well be. Yes, I heard the name as well in England. Because every summer, Robert, I go to England to Wiltshire to witness the crop circle phenomenon.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's so interesting. It's the fifth year in a row that I went this summer, and I have met so many interesting people.
Well, tell me, or I can tell you how I felt, because we went through the crop circles a few years ago, my wife and I. And I felt, when walking through one of the circles, I felt a lot of energy, but I kneeled down and I got this message that this had to do with food and food protection throughout the world. And so that was the message I got. Did you get a message of any kind?
Not like you had, but it's more that I come there to recharge my energy. Because not only in the crop circles you receive beautiful energy, but the whole area of Wiltshire just has a very positive vibe.
Yes.
And we do a night watch every night on Adam's Grave, which is a hill going up from the Barge Inn, which is a local pub with a campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, what did I see kind of UFOs this summer? It was really amazing. There was a light orb that was going from the west to the east. And then it made some 90-degree angles and it returned. And it went back westwards. Didn't make any sound. So that was a really interesting observation I did there.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's a hot spot. But I have seen a huge increase of the military activity because there are around 17 Royal Air Force bases or military bases around that area in England. And once we were on the parking in July, there was a helicopter flying right over us very suddenly. And I've never seen the size of this craft, never seen such a big helicopter in my life. And it was quite threatening, actually, to see that.
No, that's a beautiful area. I agree. Wiltshire is a beautiful area.
It is a beautiful area, yes. And there are many people from the States, like Barbara Lamb and others, Patricia Corey, that are going to England to guide groups to see the crop circles. I want to ask you another question. You know, of course, about the New Age movement and people that are having telepathic contact with benevolent ETs like the Galactic Federation of Light. And so do you think that this whole phenomena of channeling and telepathic messages from the Pleiades and the Sirians, etc., is helping to educate the population? And do you think it's beneficial for us?
You know, I when I first started researching the UFO subject, I heard a lot of stories that I discarded. I just didn't listen because I'm a left brain guy. I'm an engineer, math teacher. But as time went on and I did more investigations, talked to more people, I found that I was more accepting of a lot of these theories, at least not dismissing them out of hand. So I'm at the point now in trying to answer your question. I'm at the point where I certainly think that some people, let's say, tune in to messages from the cosmos. For example, I do think that ETs are visiting the planet. They're flying above our airspace and do communicate telepathically with humans, and especially humans that they have taken in the past and abducted. And so I think there's some communications going on, and those communications can be presented to the rest of the world by these people speaking out. So do we have people that can communicate with the Pleiades? I don't know. You know, I don't know, but I don't discount that possibility.
Yeah, because, you know, in the whole UFO research arena, I have discovered that there is the, there are two groups, actually. There's the group that is scientific with credible witnesses like yourself, like the citizens, like the Disclosure Project and all those people around it, that which has a very important purpose because of the credibility of these people. Also, Edgar Mitchell, of course, and many others. I even don't know the names, but there are so many. And at the other hand, the second group is the people that approach the whole phenomena from ET contact with a more spiritual viewpoint.
Right.
And they predict, of course, a first contact, which will happen after disclosure. And now even people are speaking about the so-called event. And when the event happens, the dark above will be arrested and we will have prosperity in our financial situation. And we'll have the delivery of free energy, and then we'll have an education from those benevolent ETs via all the and all the radio and television channels and even computers about our real true history. And I think that's just a beautiful outline of our future, and it's almost too beautiful for words. But I do have hope for this. And so, did you hear about the event?
No, I haven't heard about the event.
Well, it's between abbreviations called the event, you know, quote marks, I mean. And there are a few people that talk about the event, like this person, Cobra, on the 2012 portal.blogspot.com. And another person I interviewed for the third time last Sunday, his name is Alkesh. And he has produced several videos about Comet Eisen and the event. And he's actually saying that Comet Eisen is triggering some processes in our sun, our star, that are making it possible for the event to happen. And nobody exactly knows when the event happens. But they say it's imminent, and well, the first step of this event is a surge of light, a surge of energy from our sun, which will enable some forces that are here on Earth to arrest the cabal, and then all the following steps like abundance, financial abundance, and free energy. So I think it's just a beautiful story, but it would be great if that would happen.
Well, certainly. We have to be careful of these kinds of stories and associating them with the UFO phenomenon, of course, because one of the problems with disclosure, getting disclosure, is the question of credibility and ridicule. And so many people in the mainstream media, like we were talking, and, well, just people in general, think that all these stories are like the most fantastic story, and as well, you well know, some of the UFO incidents are well documented. Like I like to think mine is well documented, and others are simply speculative in nature. So, if we're talking about just the UFO phenomenon, I would prefer talking strictly about the cases that are on record and with multiple witnesses and by reputable witnesses.
Yeah, I agree on that. And there's another aspect about waiting for an event to happen, when people lean back and do nothing and just wait for it to happen. Mm-hmm. No, I think people have to actively share well, witness videos from Edgar Mitchell and yourself and many others to the public, and also to write to our governments, like Stephen Bassett is sending the DVDs to Congress. But I think this should happen in any country, from any people that are listening in the world, in your own country. You can get a copy of the DVDs from the citizens' hearing and send it to your local government. I mean, it's happening in the States, but it must happen everywhere. And
right.
At some point, there will be one country who will be the first to disclose. And I think every country has a secret government who deals with the UFO phenomenon, and I think we need to put pressure on the powers that be to get this done. And so, yes, the aspect of waiting for an event to happen, like it will be done by the ETs above us, it could be possible, and I hope it's possible, but at the same time, we should be active citizens and actively work on spreading the knowledge.
I agree with you. I agree with you completely, Martin.
Yes. So we have about 5 minutes left in this interview, and time is going very fast. There is a joke I heard from a professor from the San Francisco State University, and he said that fruit flies like a banana. I think that's the joke.
Okay.
You got it? Fruit flies like a banana, yeah.
Okay. I think I have it.
Anyway, it's a very exciting time we're living in, and and I really hope that you get your book to many people. I want to order it on Amazon.com. Yeah. Unidentified, your new book, Captain Robert Salas, U.S. Air Force, retired.
Yes, and I also want to mention, while I have a chance, if I have a moment, that in my book there's a story about a witness from your country, the Netherlands.
Yes. I just had it on the phone today.
Josie Swinnenberg is her name.
Yes, Josie is amazing. She's coming to my place next week, and we're going to have a meeting, and I guess she's listening right now. She contacted me last week after our interview didn't work with the technical mm-hmm. problem. But she is a very kind lady, and I'm very curious to hear about your story, so please share.
Yeah, she's got an excellent story that covers many years. Her main experience happened witnessing a very large UFO right near Schosterberg Air Base, which was near Schosterberg. And the next day, there was a famous UFO sighting over the airbase. Now, this airbase, which was investigated, by the way, by a government organization, but this airbase also had nuclear weapons. They had F-15 fighters, part of a NATO airbase. It was staffed by an American group, but it was located there in the Netherlands. And this was 1979. I think if you have her as a guest, you'll be amazed at the amount of information she can provide about this phenomenon.
Yes, we are going to schedule an interview after our meeting. We are meeting very soon, and I'm very much looking forward to have her on the radio show. Yes.
Yes. She's excellent. Very credible.
And she has written a chapter in your book?
Oh, I have. Part of my book has her story in it, just a brief outline of her story. But there's much more to her story, including how she has been harassed by the intelligence agencies because of her going public with her story.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing, yes. And then, and the beauty of internet and Facebook and email is that because of you, Robert, and many others that I'm in contact with, you get in contact with other people. Like today I had I posted an interview I did with Alkesh on YouTube, and what happens, I get a comment on my video that I should interview a person from Australia. I'm going to give you his name because he will be on the show very, very soon. Well, I can't find it right now, but anyway, The way the social media works is that we get in contact with people we would never meet normally, and then can do other radio shows or write other books with new information to get this information public. So it's wonderful how it's working. So my dear friends, keep networking and keep spreading the word. And Robert Salas, my dear friend, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Martin. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it very much. And next week we have ISIS on the show. So everybody stay tuned for the latest galactic news. And be well. And be well, Robert.
Thank you, Martin. Take care.
Take care.